Here we are recording.
Good.
We're back in our speaker view.
Okay.
For those of you who did not enjoy the tiny little boxes. Trish, do you want me to start your video?
Yes, please.
All right. Just ask you to start the video. There you go. Hello, hello. I'm very happy with the time change because I can sit here and write out my big window, sit here and look at the sunset and how it changes the colors and everything over the horizon. And it's just wonderful.
I was just out and it's 360 degrees color all around.
Yeah.
So it was very nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not 365 degrees here.
No, I think she means the panoramic.
I mean the
sunset.
The panoramic.
Yeah.
I can actually go outside and get a panoramic, but it's a difference. It's whatever. I mean, when I look out, I can the sunset could go a lot wider, and it's not.
Right. Yeah, right now it's just like, it's almost like a fire above the trees over here that's just like kind of very kind of orangish, pinkish, glowing. Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, the extra light is very uplifting.
Yes.
Hi, Keith.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
So-called Keith.
Indeed.
Somebody said that somewhere.
I
went along with it.
I just want to thank you for all your interaction with John, because that generates a lot of good material, if I can speak like this. And I thank you very much, John, for your patience, because I know it's only hammering all the time the same messages, but we have to get it from different way, and you are very, very wonderful to make it simple in all these different way. It's helped me very much to integrate all this information and say, one of these days, I'll stop to integrate, I'm gonna be that. But for now, I have to integrate step by step. But it's really, really helpful, these gathering we're doing. For me, it's very, very helpful because I do that with the reading and some video watching on the YouTube and all that together, it's powerful.
Good, good. Jai Guru.
Three cheers for that.
Yes.
Jai Guru. Yeah.
I would not be making the progress that I am, I think, without this. And whatever, it's hard. Whatever you want to call progress. But yeah, to my body and mind, it's progress. And I sort of like, I know they say you're not supposed to talk about your experiences, but we do anyway. And I'm not afraid to, I know maybe because that implies, or it could even say it means there is an individual having the experience of selfless self, but which I'm finding is beyond it is beyond experience. Yesterday, today, I somehow things fell together, and I usually say when I have those moments of bliss or extended moments of bliss, whatever, that there's still some element of me there.
Yes, of course. You're experiencing this bliss. So there has to be a you there to experience bliss. You and bliss are the same. So anything that separates you from yourself could appear as bliss. It could also appear as pain or suffering or all kinds of different appearances. But just knowing that it's just separating me from myself through a concept of experiencing. All experiences came along with the body, mind, ego, intellect. Without body, how could you experience? You could just say, okay, the presence is no longer holding this body labeled Keith. So how is it experiencing now? And where did it go?
Yes, I mean, I guess what I was getting at is usually when I'm having, sensing, you know, whatever, there's a element of a thought concept of me that's still there. And I saw pretty clearly that that the concept was just kind of gone and there was nothing but, or I'm still getting a sense of that, there's nothing but me, what you can call me, but it's not me as I think of me.
Yeah, Keith is arising on presence. Yeah. And experiences of Keith are on presence, because without presence, there'd be no experience of Keith. Like when presence is no longer using the body labeled Keith, that's what I just was mentioning, then Keith is no longer experiencing. So presence is providing the background for these experiences of Keith. But you're not Keith, you're the presence. Keith is an appearance on your spontaneous presence. Keith came along with body, mind, ego, intellect, and therefore saw a world, because Keith is a conglomeration of the five elements, just a lump of goo. Mm-hmm. And the label then Keith, and presence took on this position of I am Keith, because I know I exist. Presence is everywhere. Suddenly now it knows itself as this body form and says, I'm Keith, and then sees a world and forgets that I'm presence. And it's not so much forget, because there's no forgetting and no remembering. It's just presence. The space in the room is suddenly aware of itself as a body and doesn't even think, oh, I was always there. It just starts to behave and act as this body labeled Keith. And then the whole spiritual journey is to erase this false concept of Keith and get to the first concept of just I exist, then know that you are the knower of this sense of presence, or I exist. And on this sense of presence and this sense of existence, an entire world has appeared. When presence is no longer using the body form Keith, then it will just be what it always is and always was. That's why Maharaj says, prior to beingness and after leaving the body, this is ultimate truth. This something that has appeared within the nothing is just the illusory existence. And you hold on to it because it's the first time you knew of your existence. You say, oh, I exist. I don't want to cease to exist. But how can you cease to exist? You'll cease to exist as you are currently experiencing yourself, but that's false, just as in a dream. You're going to lay down and sleep tonight. You're going to experience yourself through the dream consciousness in a dream world. Then you're going to wake up and you'll no longer be experiencing that dream world, but there's no gain, no loss, because it was a dream. When you know yourself in a real sense, you know that, okay, for a time, this body-based existence is here as an appearance within my own self. And now I enjoy. Do what, you know, there's no need to think about the body-based existence because it's just occurring. And there's nothing that I as an individual can do, obviously, because I'm the presence in which all this activity is occurring. So there's no deed, no doer. So I just remain. And even if somebody tells me, oh, there's trouble in the world. Okay, yeah. Luckily, the world is in me and I'm not in the world. If I truly was in the world, then I might be concerned about the worldly problems. But I very much know myself in a real sense, and there's no way I can be in the world. It's like the space in the room can't become the world. The world is just an appearance within the space, and the space is always there. Whether you're seeing a world or not seeing a world, and you know yourself in a real sense, so whether the world is there or not, you are. This sense of existence has appeared to you, and when this sense of existence is no more, then the one to whom it appeared to will no longer be experiencing the sense of existence. But you'll very much be existing. There'll just not be the concept of duality. And it happens right now. You could say you're dead right in this moment because you were never born.
I could talk about the lump of goo in two ways. I could say it's made out of me, or
it's not. Just like the dream world, the dream consciousness has just appeared. It's appeared formlessly, but has created the concept of form because of identification with a form. You could say that mom and dad getting together and saying, oh, we're having a baby. In reality, we're having a lump of goo. And yet presence is then going to animate this and make this life livingness. And then mom and dad are going to tell you you're Keith. So your mom and dad have created the concept of becoming parents by creating a concept that they're having you. It's like a body factory. Two bodies get together, lump of goo makes another body. Another two bodies get together, lump of goo makes another body. And so on and so forth.
But actually, I can't, as an individual, make a concept. Isn't it more correct to say selfless self makes the concept of
well, selfless self with the belief in being mom and dad. Presence, identified as mom and identified as dad, says, look what we have. We're going to call him Keith. And presence is not knowing anything and is just kind of there in this lump of goo because now there's life. So there's a sense of existence. And now you're told what this existence is from the perspective of you being this little lump of goo.
So even if I say it's self with self doing it, that's still like making something out
selfless
of it. That's...
Self doesn't do anything. Just like if you were to lay down to sleep tonight, you might dream that you're having a baby with your wife in a dream tonight. But who's actually having this? And where is this baby coming from? And where are the elements that are creating this baby coming from? And where is the life force that's creating the concept of this baby crying and being alive coming from? All coming from you. But it's formlessly coming, of course, because you're sleeping. So this dream consciousness that creates this whole world creates the concept of birth and death.
It doesn't really need an explanation, though.
Well, it only needs an explanation when there's someone who wants an explanation.
Yeah.
And that someone who wants an explanation is within the bubble of illusion, and no explanation can be correct or incorrect.
Yeah.
Because you're outside of that.
Yeah.
Just like in a dream. You know, in your dream tonight, you go to a school and they explain everything about the dream and how the dream comes about and how the bodies are made and how the trees are made and how everything is all in harmony and beauty, and you learn all about this, and then you wake up. Everything that you learned was within the dream, and really useless other than to pass the time in the dream. Once you know that you were dreaming, you don't sit there and say, wow, you know, I had a PhD in like philosophy in the dreamland. I hope you don't.
Well, I studied philosophy all my life, or well, I mean, especially at the beginning, I guess I still study my own mind. So it's kind of the same.
Well, philosophy of the illusory existence. Yeah. The philosophy of the something that came out of nothing.
You can endlessly say stuff about it.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, we can talk for hours about nothing. We do.
We do. That's just it's so extraordinary and ordinary at the same time. It really is, from the mind perspective, it is paradox. But once you see it, it's kind of like, well, that's, you know, that's me, or that's it, or.
But that's just like, I'm watching this TV show on Epix called From, and I love it. It's a really cool show about all these people, and they wind up in this town. It's kind of like Lost in a way, because they're all coming in from different parts of the country, and they all wind up in this town, and these demons come out at night and hunt the people and all this. So the lady is having a conversation with the priest, and she says, you know what keeps bothering me, this burning question is, am I still alive? Is this some kind of a purgatory or something? Am I still alive, or did I die in the car crash? And the priest says very simply, does it matter? Like, your whole concept is going home, and whether you believe you're in purgatory and going home to like the ultimate destination, or whether you believe that you're still in the real world and you're going home back to your own life, how does it affect you? Like, in what way would it change what you do? Your desire is to go home. And in the same kind of an instance, once you know yourself in a real sense, then whether, okay, maybe the world is illusion and maybe it's not illusion, but I know myself. I don't have to debate whether the world is illusion or not illusion. I know myself. And truly, once you know yourself in a real sense, there can be no doubt that this world, that you can't be in it. Like, I don't even understand how you could have a concept of being in it, because you're formless, and formless without the concept of form.
Once you see that, then you realize how true it is that except for self with self, there is no anything.
No God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master. Why? Because these are terms that came along with the body, and you are not body. These are labels given to that ultimate truth that you are, from the perspective of being a body searching for ultimate truth. There needs to be a label of what I'm searching for in the illusory existence. I am searching for the ultimate truth. I want to know the reality, but you are the reality. So within the bubble of illusion, you can search for yourself, but in reality, this bubble of illusion, you're outside of this. So once you stop playing in the illusory circle and you break out, then you are that. And there's no doubt. How can there be a doubt? And then you look at the world and you say, okay, well, Upanishads say this. Okay, that's very nice. It's good. Bible says this. Okay, yeah. That's good. But that came along with the body. Yeah. I don't have to study all those things. There's no need to try and figure anything out. Because I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Master said it, I directly experience it. Now it's my own experience directly that I know myself in a real sense. I am not body, I was not body, I'm not going to remain the body. Accept your selfless self. There's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no Master. Nothing is there. Only your selfless self. And selfless self is self without the concept of self, in which you believe all these things. The attributeless.
There's no end to all the explanations, really.
Exactly. Very much so. That's why we have so much diversity in the explanations of ultimate truth and all these various different religions, because you can have countless, within the bubble of illusion, you can have countless different explanations for everything, how the world was created, and then argue over it. No, the world was created this way. And that's why in Siddhameshwar Maharaj, Master of Self-Realization, they said, oh dear, the world was never created. There was no creation. Just as when you go to bed at night, you don't create a dream world. It appears spontaneously because the sense of existence is there and this consciousness births a world. And you say, oh, there's a world. And then there's a you in it. And you identify immediately the formless consciousness of the dream, identifies immediately with a little body and sees a world in a dream and sees other characters. And the craziest thing is, in your dream, you talk to people and they talk to you. And you may experience hot or cold. You might experience being wet. You might experience heat. I mean, there's no end to the experiences you can experience within the illusory existence called dream because of identification with the form within the dream. And now you say, oh, so that's the same in this so-called waking dream. There's no limit to the amount of experiences that you can have within this waking dream because you are identified as a form within a world. And yet, just like when you wake up at night, you know that all of that came out of you. All the conversations you've had, all the experiences that you've had were completely your own, were completely created by you, and not even created, just appearing. And so now you know yourself in a real sense, and you see this waking dream world in the same way. I know myself in a real sense. This object appears within myself. I'm no longer identified with this object, and yet this object is available to perform tasks. And again, spontaneously, because there's no thought of I'm going to do this, except at work, of course, you have a things to do list and you do these things because you do your job, do your duties. But you know that it's you're this, using this as a limited kind of typewriter for a time. And the scenes keep appearing and disappearing because you have an object within your dream that you're seeing. Oh, okay. Now we're at work. Okay, now we're over here. Now we watch TV. Now we go to the grocery store. But all of this is occurring within yourself just as in a dream. If you dreamt of going to a grocery store, seeing all the people and being checked out by the clerk, they're all only formlessness, behaving and imagining form. And now, if you were to go in this waking dream and go to the grocery store, again, you know yourself in a real sense. Formlessness is appearing, these forms are appearing within the formlessness that you are, providing power and energy to move around, providing speaking and listening and all of that. But who's speaking? Who's listening? Your checkout lady is Kathy, and Kathy says, good morning. In your dream, Kathy is the checkout lady, and she says, good morning. Oh, good morning. But Is Kathy really saying good morning? And are you really responding? Speaker and listener are one and the same. That's why Maharaj says, remove the body and then talk with me.
So you're not giving us explanations, you're just giving us the facts.
This is just the reality. I mean, explanations are very nice to explain that there's nothing to explain, and that anything that is explained that you say, aha, now I understand, is actually a hindrance, because you're creating the concept of an understanding of what's false, and then somehow building the building blocks that you're progressing.
through identification of whatever.
This exactly. Is. Truly, you just look at it as, okay, in my dream tonight, I'm driving my car, I'm stuck in traffic, maybe people are cutting me off and honking and giving me bad signs, but it's all me. Like, I wake up in the morning, and whether I was dreaming of traffic or not, I know that the entire thing was coming from me. And now, because of the body-based existence, I sit there and I say, well, I was sleeping, now I'm awake. But no, you're just identified with a different object within the formlessness and saying that now I'm awake. But the formlessness that you are does not sleep or wake. These states appear because of that formlessness that you are, whether it's dream or waking dream. There's no difference. Only identification with an object within the formlessness. Because the dream consciousness is the space in the room and creates all of this. And there's a seeing because of identification with an object. And the waking consciousness is the space in the room that creates all of these things and provides the space for all of this. And there's identification with an object, and therefore a perception of objects. It's one and the same. And that's the absolute truth.
And if I interpret what you're saying as an explanation, then I'll just be lost in it.
Yeah, I mean, again, how? If you're interpreting what I say as an explanation, are you in your dream or in the waking dream? Which illusory world are you trying to understand? Just know yourself in a real sense. And how do you do that? You stop playing in the illusion and remain with yourself as self. Because if I don't remain with myself as self, it impresses in me that I believe the illusion is true and therefore worth kind of working out.
Juggling.
Exactly. It's like, oh my God, oh, but it's illusion. And in the dream, same thing. But at the same time, in the dream, you might get fired and pack up your stuff and be very, very sad. And oh my God, I lost my job. What am I going to do? This and that. And then you wake up and the experience is over. The same here. In this waking dream world, as long as this body is available, you may be having experiences. But knowing yourself in a real sense, it's over. So there might be sadness, there might be happiness. But all of these, and see, you stop thinking that thoughts are somehow in this head. You know that because you're formless, thoughts are just flowing. They're also formless. They only take form when you say, I am thinking. Then I'm thinking a thought.
What's the purpose of the brain?
Brain came along with body. It's just this is a functional organ. You know, you have eyes in this body, you have heart, it pumps and blood and all that kind of stuff. So this body is basically just an organ and a functional organ that is being used to see this world and experience yourself as you exist. But it's not you. I think Nisargadatta Maharaj talks about like the incense stick, and it just burns down and then burns out. The same with this body. It's formed. It has all these functions. And think about this. What if you were responsible for your heartbeat, your breath, even swallowing?
I'd forget.
It would be terrible. Yeah, oh my God, I forgot to breathe. I'm suffocating. Or when I lay down and sleep tonight, how in the world am I going to keep my heart going and still have a nice night's sleep? It's just a functioning, five elemental functioning, a functional organ. Just like fruit growing, just like grass growing. Rain comes, grass grows. Food and water is put to this body, it grows. But now that doesn't mean that you're like some ascetic and you say, oh, well, I don't need to see a doctor because I'm the formlessness and I will take care of myself. No, because again, this body is within the form-based illusion. So you need to go see an illusory doctor to take care of this illusory body. You just don't identify with it. And you don't need to tell the doctor, doctor, you know what? I don't need to take this medicine because I'm formless. Because like that guy said, the priest said, whether you're formless or not, this is the existence of right now. Okay, so take care of this body. Do your job. Do your duties.
I should mention before we end, I'm pretty sure I won't be here next week. I got
Okay.
My desire is to go to a major jazz concert. Usually doesn't happen on Tuesdays, but in this early, it starts at 6 o'clock.
Well, see, at the jazz concert, you'll forget yourself, which will cause a lot of joy, actually, because you'll forget yourself. That's why they talk about like the football players and basketball players when they're in the zone. Uh-huh. They forget themselves and they're just flowing. Yeah. And this is the reality of life when you're not constantly impressing that I am a body and all these things are real. Mm-hmm. And yet you can sip Moringa mint tea and enjoy very much. Without a body, there would be Moringa tea, but you would not be able to enjoy it or experience it.
Well, you say there would be Moringa tea?
The presence is here. It's just not using this body form. There's no individuality. These are just forms. Presence is one. These are all appearances within the body form. That's why you can sit there and say, well, wait a minute. If anybody actually died, then the entire world would just end. That would be it. Like presence is just gone. This can't be. Forms are created and destroyed spontaneously, just as in dream. And the presence is always there and ready to animate the form. Oh, look, baby. Mm-hmm. Baby, we call you Keith. Presence mm-hmm. understanding I exist is now Keith. Identified with this body, Keith. And now Keith has a life. But Keith doesn't have a life. Presence has a wrong body identification for a time, and then not.
except for self of self, there wouldn't be any Moringa tea, right?
Well, see, you keep thinking that if John, this body was gone, there'd be no Moringa tea. No, there's still, everything is here. This is a spontaneous existence on your spontaneous presence, not Keith's presence or John's presence or Alan's presence or Trisha's presence. It is presence, presence. See, that's a little twist because there's still identification with the body. You say, oh, wait a minute. If presence was no longer here, then this world disappears. Well, no. This body is no longer available to peek inside of this consciousness, so to speak. But it's not, this body makes no difference to presence. It's an object within presence, a five elemental goo growing and then being gone. That's why some you say like, oh, okay, how can we see people die? Well, simply presence is no longer available for that body form, and that body form is put, buried, or burned. Presence is no longer experiencing itself as Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj, because for Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj, the body is no longer available for presence to experience itself as Sri Ramakrishna Maharaj. But presence is still experiencing itself as all these. So, but when you know yourself in a real sense, as they talk about this cycle of births and deaths, of course not, because you know there's no birth, there's no death. There's no reincarnation or precarnation or anything like that, just like in your dream. Your little dream characters don't line up at the end of the dream and say, well, the dream's about to end. Let's make our amends and hope we come back as a, you know, not a bug. The space in the room will not be affected by anything. If this whole building falls down, the space is not affected. If they build another building, space is not affected. If they come in and make more walls and separate this or knock walls down, space is not affected. That's why Maharaj very nicely says, if the walls come down, will the sky in the ashram go to heaven and the sky in the toilet go to hell? No, sky is sky. If at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space.
Doesn't it all start with selfless self, though?
Okay. Well, selfless self is not Keith selfless self. Selfless self is self without self. Presence, I am, existence, whatever you want to call it, is the first experience of this non-experience, the manifestation coming out of the unmanifest. And in reality, it doesn't really come out of, it's just a, just as again in dream, there's a sense of existence, boom, a dream world is created, populated with people. If the people inside your dream die, it has no effect on even your own object. You may watch the people die. Oh, there's two people, we went to their funeral. But nobody was born, nobody died. Spontaneous activity arising from the formlessness and only for a time. So you break the samsara or whatever, the wheel of samsara or the cycle of birth and death, by knowing yourself in a real sense. I was not born, I cannot die. This